Hey, church family, it's good to be with you. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 25. The title of this sermon is Pressing On. Pressing On. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. It says this: Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can gather here together, Lord, online, and we can listen to your word and study it, Father, and ask that you would speak to us through it. Thank you that it's living and it's active, God, and you want to change us through your word by your spirit. And we just ask, Father, that you give us hearts, Lord, to receive from you, that you would teach us from your word, instruct us, God, in this season, how to press on, God, and where that power comes from, Lord. And I pray for those who are discouraged, downcast. I just ask that you would encourage them and that you would just have your way in this time. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to do a message about pressing on because I think we're in this season where it's obviously been a tough season for many of us. And we're kind of back towards getting things closed up again. And just a lot of uncertainty. A lot of trying to figure out what the future is going to look like. I know for many of you, you're in times of transition. As a church, we're seeking the Lord and wanting to know what he has for us in this season and in the fall. And so there's just a lot of uneasiness, a lot of just trying to figure out what to do. I love this scripture from Hebrews because the people who are the author is writing to, they're having a tough time and they're experiencing persecution. And so their faith is being challenged. And I think many times when we go through trials and tribulations, our faith is tested and it's refined. And oftentimes we can struggle through these times. And sometimes people will get further from God. Sometimes they'll get closer. But when we suffer, it does one of those two things. And what the author of Hebrews is writing to these believers is, what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to encourage them to stick with Jesus. Because he knows that when times are tough, the tendency is to leave our faith by the wayside. It's easy to kind of take a passive role in our faith and not to press on. So I wanted to look at this scripture today, so that we might focus in on and get encouragement from in this instruction on what are we to do when times are tough? How is it that we're to press on? What does that look like for the believer? The author begins here, and he really says that the gospel, I love how he just begins with the gospel, this message of Jesus and what Jesus has done to open up a new and living way to God for us. And this is really where it starts, right? What we see here is that what Jesus has done is this is going to be the foundation for everything that he's going to say in the coming verses. What we see here is that through the gospel, we've been given an open-ended invitation to draw near to God in whatever condition we find ourselves in. Now, I don't know how you're feeling this morning, but all of us are feeling a certain type of way. Some of you are listening with heavy hearts. Think about what is it that's weighing you down. Are you worried about the future? Are you lonely? Are you feeling hopeless? Are you frustrated? Are you confused? Are you searching for answers? The good news of the gospel is that God doesn't need us to figure it all out. Jesus has already figured it all out. That means that we can breathe deeply this morning, that when we sit here, we can bring our heavy hearts to God and we hand those things off to Him and say, Lord, I want to give you my cares. I want to give you my burdens. That means that we're free to do what the Lord tells us in Psalm 46:10 when He says, be still and know that I am God. It's going to be very easy for us to carry weights and carry burdens and worries and let these things own us if we're not being intentional to give these things to the Lord. And so He says, this flows from the gospel. This flows from Jesus making a way for us. And in verse 22, He says that we have this privilege of drawing near to God. And ultimately, we can draw near to Jesus because Jesus first drew near to us, right? Religion would tell us, hey, here's the checklist. You need to do these things. The gospel tells us, you can't keep the checklist. Jesus did it, and that's why He came to do for you what you could not do for yourself. And when we embrace the gospel and the work that Jesus did for us, it brings us to this place of rest. And that's what the author of Hebrews has been speaking about. He says that through Christ, we can receive the true rest that our souls need. God in Christ has first drawn near to us, and this changes everything for us. This changes the way that we view the things that we go through in this life. I pray that this freedom would allow us to come boldly before the Lord this morning, to be honest with Him. If we're feeling weighed down or heavy, or just maybe apathetic and complacent, I pray that the gospel would warm our hearts. Right? Many times we want something to happen through a message or through a speaker, but oftentimes it's a responsibility that we have as God's people to warm our hearts with the gospel message. We've got to preach this message to ourselves when we're feeling weighed down or complacent or apathetic. We need to allow the truths of Scripture to shape us and form us and remind us that God loves us. This call to draw near to God, it's not just a command, but it's a privilege, right? And it's a privilege with a promise. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. This is an absolute promise that as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. So this gospel moves us to persevere in faith even when things are tough. For some of you, I know things are tough right now with family issues and work and just being kind of thrown into a weird rhythm. What the author of Hebrews wants to encourage us with is to say, hey, keep going, keep holding fast, keep holding tight to the faith. I know it's tough. You can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says that we're to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, right? It's easier to follow Jesus when things are going well, but it's a little bit more difficult when things are tough. And my encouragement for us and what I want us to understand from this text is this call to keep pressing on. Even though you're tired, even though you're weary, even though you might be losing hope with certain areas of your life, we have the utmost reason to be hopeful because of the gospel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This isn't just about mustering up the strength or the hope or the courage or the faith. It's about looking to the One who wants to endow us with those things from on high, who says that my Holy Spirit will empower you to live these things out. Second thing I want to see here in verse 23 is that we're to hold fast to our hope even in hopeless situations. When the Bible talks about hope, it's not speaking about wishful thinking, but rather, biblical hope is a confident expectation that what God has promised, He will fulfill. Biblical hope is a confident expectation that what God has promised, He will fulfill. And so we can have hope in the Lord, even in the most hopeless situations, because the Bible is clear that our God is the God of all hope. Listen to what Romans 15:13 says. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Our God is the God of hope. He's the God of the impossible. And at the end of the day, we can be hopeful because of what it says at the end of verse 23. It says, "For he who promised is faithful." When hope seems to be lost, remember that the faithful one will see you through. He's never stopped being faithful. He's not going to stop now. He's going to see you through. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. The Lord always finishes what he starts. And so if he's begun this work in you, he's going to see you through. The last thing I want us to look at is in verses 24 and 25. And that is that we're to look outward, not just inward. Right? It's very easy for us, especially in times, in trying times, to look merely inward and to see what we're missing out on and to wish that we just went back to normal life. And the call here is for us not to just look inward at ourselves, but to look outward to others, at the community of faith, at people who don't know the Lord. We're called to actively engage in reaching out to others. The temptation for us is to isolate, right? And many of us, we need to practically isolate from other people. There are certain things that we need to do, but I think it's easy for us to kind of fall into that state of isolation and not make that phone call and not reach out to people and see how people are doing and not engage with our neighbors. It's easy for us to take on a passive role at a season like this. And the call on us as believers is to engage. The temptation for us, it's going to be to check out of community, to not make it in on Sundays, to not give it the priority that it deserves, to say, you know what, Wednesdays, it's prayer meeting, it's not that big of a deal. Other people will pray, I got other things to do. There's certain things that we might push by the wayside in this season, but the call from Scripture here is that we would continue in these things, that we would continue to meet. And we need to fight against this temptation to disengage. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know it's easy to check out. I know you get zoomed out. But keep going. Keep pressing on. Keep showing up. Don't lose heart. God is moving. God is working, even when it seems like nothing is happening. We see here that we're called to stir each other up towards love and good works. Another translation says that we're to spur each other on towards love and good works. I like that imagery. When you think of a spur, right? Hitting a horse, it's to get the horse moving, it's to get him going. It doesn't feel good, right? There's going to be times where we want to spur each other on, we want to encourage each other to go forward, and it's going to feel like you're getting spurred. When we're talking about prayer, when we're talking about being engaged in community, it might feel like you're getting hit with a guilt trip or you're getting hit with pressure. It kind of is pressure. Because the Bible says that we're to be actively engaged in spurring each other on towards love and good works. We should be making people uncomfortable in our lives. Not because we're being a jerk, but because we love them. This takes intentionality. It takes creativity. It takes a willing heart. It takes a willingness to be misunderstood, right? Sometimes when we're trying to encourage someone, people might think that we're just being hard on them. That's not our heart here. When we're pushing prayer meeting, when we're pushing being a community, our heart is not to beat people down with that, but it's to say, hey, be a part of what God's doing. We know that we're meeting together online and it's less than ideal circumstances. But what the scripture says here is that we must press on. We can't afford to be passive. We must be active participants in what God's doing. And then the author ends here with a call to encourage each other. And that really only happens as we're being a part of each other's lives. As we're reaching out to each other and saying, hey, brother, hey, sister, how are you doing in this season? And I'll just ask you, who is it that the Lord has been laying on your heart in this season? Are you being obedient to those promptings when the Lord is prompting you to call someone or he's putting someone on your heart? Are we actively engaging with that person, or are we kind of just laying back? My encouragement for us is to step out and to see what God would do in this season. I've been pleasantly surprised to see the openness that God is bringing in certain individuals in my life. People that were previously closed are becoming more open, and it's encouraging to see. And we want to see the Spirit moving in people, but oftentimes, to see that happen, we've got to be available, we've got to be willing, and we've got to show up. And our hope is that by the power of the Spirit, that God would begin to do what only He can do, that He would begin to set people free. He would begin to take us deeper as a community, that He would give us His vision for this next season as a church. And so we don't want to miss out on what God is doing in this season. My prayer is that God would give us willing hearts, He give us open eyes and open hands, and that we'd be used by the Lord to be a blessing in this season. May God help us with these things. We are praying. We're seeking the Lord on Wednesdays at 7:30. We would love for you to join us. We're getting to talk about what God's doing in our lives, the things that we need prayer for. We're leaving our burdens there together. And we would encourage you to come out to that time. This is a way that we can actively be a participant in what God is doing in this season. This isn't the time to just coast. This is the time to press in. We're thinking about the fall and how we can be on mission with the Lord as a church. It seems like we're limited, but there are ways that we can reach out and be intentional and being a blessing to the community, to AACF. And so we want to get ready for that. We want to get ready for those things, certain decisions that we'll be making. We would love for you to join us as we gather together to pray on Wednesday. We'd love to have you on Sunday as well. You're more than welcome to join us. And if you need prayer for anything, please feel free to reach out. Send us a message. You can send me a message or one of the leaders, and we'd love to keep you in prayer. If you're struggling with something, please don't hesitate to reach out. We don't want you to feel isolated. We want you to feel free. We're brothers and sisters. We're for you. We don't want to judge you. We're not here to point the finger. We're really here to lift each other up. And so when we feel that freedom and say, hey, I'm going to confess the areas that I'm struggling with, I just know for me personally, I've found great freedom in that place. We love you. We pray God's best over you. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just your work in our lives, God. We thank you that you're moving even when things, it seems like nothing's happening, God. We confess that there are times where we're confused, where we're wondering what you're up to, where we're wondering how long this is going to last, God, how long we won't be able to meet. We're wondering if life will ever look, you know, the same as it did a while back. And there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of questions. We pray, God, that you would walk with us through these times. I pray that you would help us to see what you're wanting to do in this season, that you would unite us as a community, that you would help us to be on the same page. Help us not to neglect meeting together. I pray that you would help us, God, if we've lost that motivation, that drive. I pray that you would give us that intentionality. I pray that you'd help us to reach out to others, to encourage each other. I pray that we would look outward, Lord, not just inward, that you give us vision for how you want to move in our church, in our community, in the people we know who don't know you, Lord, the people who are seeking. Lead us and guide us. Shape the church for what you want it to be. We pray that you be glorified in us, God. Be exalted in our lives, Lord. Thank you for each person that's here. We pray your blessing upon them, Lord. Lead us and guide us for your name's sake, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.